K-Mud Podcast presents.
Welcome. Boy, I can't believe this weather. I am literally stuck at home today and grateful for it. Anyway, happy solstice to all of you and happy solar new year. It is actually going to be a longer day and shorter night from here on out. So you can always think of that when you're trying to think of something positive. And my first guest today, my only guest today, excuse me, is the executive director of Friends of the Lost Coast, Justin Krellin. Are you there, Justin?
I am. Thanks for having me, Pamela.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you on this stormy day. Thanks for being here. And we have so much to talk about. I can't wait to get into it. Can you start by reminding us all, just in case we don't know, what is Friends of the Lost Coast?
Sure. So Friends of the Lost Coast is an environmental nonprofit. We're based in Whitethorn, and our mission is to inspire a passion for nature in the Lost Coast region. We do that through a mix of education, stewardship, youth, and citizen science programs, and via public lands advocacy. And we also co-manage a space with the Bureau of Land Management called the Lost Coast Nature Center, a new name that we're trying on for that space, which is part of the BLM complex there behind the visitor center in Whitethorn. And so we do a lot of partnering with the Bureau of Land Management, but our programs span our larger public lands of the Lost Coast region. So we partner also with St. John Wilderness State Park. We'll do field trips on public lands throughout the broader local area and, have a ton of stuff happening for a small nonprofit. So, yeah, really appreciate the opportunity to get to talk about our programs and organization with you today. I should say, too, it's also our 25th anniversary. So that's an exciting thing for Friends of the Lost Coast. We were founded in the year 2000 as the Lost Coast Interpretive Association. And in 2020, changed our name to Friends of the Lost Coast because we thought it better represented the work that we do and the role we play in supporting our public land partners like the Bureau of Land Management. So, it's been a great 25th anniversary year, and we're just wrapping it up now and really looking forward to the year ahead and telling your listeners about all that's going on.
Yeah, so I have to start by saying the new 25-year T-shirts are really beautiful. They have native plants on them. And if you haven't seen them yet, you'll have to go, maybe they're on the website. I didn't check the website for your merch, but do you guys have merch on your website or do you have to find you in person?
We will be adding merch to our website soon. So within the next month, people will be able to find that there. Our website is lostcoast.org. But for people that are interested in a last minute holiday gift, we're at the Whitethorn Construction Holiday Store. And or you can find us at one of our events. We still have one more event to go before the end of the year, and then a busy calendar shaping up in 2026. So plenty of opportunities to score your folk merch and to represent out there.
Every time you guys bring out another shirt, I'm like, I don't need another one, but they're always so great. I end up buying them for gifts or for myself all the time. I couldn't not buy the one with the trilliums on it. I'm like, oh, I have to own this. So anyway, I'm happy to wear the merch around and remind everybody about your programs. And my family and I participate in some of your programs. Do you want to quickly discuss what some of the different things are in a little more detail, or should we dive right into what's coming up? Your choice.
Yeah, wherever you want to go, I'm prepared to talk about any of it. Obviously, I mentioned those different program areas earlier, and so we, have a bunch of programs that fall under each one of those different areas.
And so,
yeah, it's a lot. And so, again, for people that want to find out more about the full breadth of what we do, lostcoast.org has all the information on the different program areas and the programs that fall within those. Maybe starting with what's coming up, and we can kind of fill in from there about some of the different areas we didn't get a chance to talk about. But since I mentioned our last event of 2025, that's coming up on the 28th of this month. We'll be doing a Shelter Cove work day at Black Sands Beach, and it's one of our regular stewardship events. We do these work days monthly on the final Sunday of the month, excluding the summer months. And for this month, we'll be at Black Sand Beach. Those work days go from 10 a.m. until 1 p.m. And we'll work both in the native plant gardens at the King Range Monument site there at the at the west end of the Black Sands Beach parking area. And then we also do invasive species removal in the surrounding area. So those will be the projects on tap for our last work day of 2025. And for many of our stewardship work days, we really try to engage the youth. And so one of the ways we do that and have had great success with is via our youth stipend incentive program. And so for youth ages, well, for the Shelter Cove work days, youth ages 10 to 17 can get in on our youth stipends. We have them and they pay $10 an hour for youth that fall into that age group. And it's a great way both to learn about stewardship concepts as well as career pathways in conservation as well as public lands management. So it's a great introduction to some of our other programs that further those ideas, and a great way to show youth both the value of volunteering, even though they do get a little something for it, but also to learn about native plants and how they can play a role in the stewardship of our public lands, because it really is crucial, the role that groups like Folk play and the larger community volunteer base to steward these public lands, keep our trails open and our public access point spots, in top shape. And so our Shelter Cove work days are just one of the many programs we offer that further that goal.
Yeah, absolutely. My two cents on that would be if you're a parent who wishes your kids spent less time on their cell phone or their laptop, this is a way for them to make money, be outside, appreciating where they live. And also there'll be other kids there their age that they can connect with that maybe they necessarily don't always see all the time. They might not be the same kids in their classroom. You know, there's a bunch of schools out here. So it's a really neat way to connect. And it leads right into the NICS Interns program, which helps kids get paid even more when they get in high school over the summer to help maintain some of those longer trails too. And just all of the things that encourage kids to get outside, I couldn't be more for. So I know it's changed my son's life. I couldn't get him to bring in the firewood. And now he's like, oh, I hope I get to do more trail maintenance this summer. And I'm like, game changer. So thank you, Friends of the Lost Coast. You're my friends.
Yeah, I mean, we try to, all of our different stewardship programs, we've tried to incorporate this youth stipend component into it because it's been so successful. Not only is it great for the youth, but it also kind of expands our volunteer base because sometimes family members like your family will come along and participate, also brings along, friends. And so, we've definitely seen an increase in participation since we launched the youth stipends, and it's been so successful that we now do it for all of our different stewardship work days. And so you mentioned the Lost Coast Trail Stewards Program, which is actually the first event that we'll kick off 2026 with. We do these on the first Sunday of every month, except for the summer months. And so January 4th will be our first Lost Coast Trail Stewards Work Day. The location of the trail work day is still TBA, but for folks who want to get in on that, either as a volunteer or to register for a youth stipend, they can do so by emailing me. My email is justin@lostcoast.org, and it's a great way to plug in. I'd also add you to our stewardship email list, which we send out regularly to remind everybody that our work days are coming up and which ones offer youth stipends. And so we also have another event happening that same day on the 4th of January that's also a stewardship event. That conflicts with the Lost Coast Trail Stewards Workday, but if native plant gardening is more your speed, we have regular garden work parties on the first and third Sunday of every month. That's year-round at the Lost Coast Nature Center there in Whitethorn. Again, that's from 10 to 1, and stipends are offered for those work days as well. So for folks who are interested in plugging in with the native plant garden work days, they can do so by emailing Cheryl@lostcoast.org. So her that's spelled Cheryl@lostcoast.org. And a great way to plug in with those work days too. So those are going to be the two concurring events that will kick off our 2026 calendar, and have a ton of stuff on tap beyond that too.
Yeah, I noticed that. And so I do want to just touch down for a second and say, I love that there's a stipend for youth to encourage them to get out there, but I also encourage the grown-ups, the family members that drove those kids there to stick around and do it with them and show them that volunteering for your community is important. And it's not just something that you do if you get a stipend. But moving forward, I do notice that you're having a talk, a lecture on January 14th. Can you tell me a little bit about Mandy Hackney and what that discussion will be about? And is it on Zoom?
Yes, so we've got the return of our Lost Coast Lecture Series, which is a virtual lecture series that we present via Zoom, and then we record those lectures and we'll post them on our YouTube channel and on our website. So for folks who are interested to see some of our past lectures, they can go to lostcoast.org and check the resources tab, and there's a drop down that has our lecture recordings, and so you can go back and see all the different virtual lectures that we've presented in the last handful of years. And so these two lectures that are coming up on the 14th and the 28th of January will kick off the series. Up first is a lecture on the California Fundus Project that features Mandy Hackney. The Fundus Project stands for Fungal Diversity Survey, and so that's actually a 501c3 nonprofit organization that has been conducting these surveys of fungal diversity in the state of California. And so Mandy Hackney was one of their collectors. She's also the president of the Humboldt Bay Mycological Society and somebody who we've worked with before on other events. And so when I first learned about this fungal diversity survey, I talked with her about trying to do a lecture about it. And now that the survey, or a good chunk of it, has been complete, she agreed to come on and tell us about the results of that survey. So she did a bunch of collection locally in the Lost Coast area, both on public lands and some of our private lands in southern Humboldt, northern Mendocino. And so she's going to talk about her work doing that. The results of the survey, and both on the local level as well as in the context of the larger state of California data they collected. And so that will be on the 14th of January, which is a Wednesday. It runs from 6 to 7 p.m. And we always encourage folks to check these lectures out live. It has a different energy when you check it out live. Plus, there's a Q&A opportunity at the end. So it really gives participants an opportunity to kind of flesh out their questions and make more of the experience versus viewing the lecture in its recorded state. Though that's great too, and it's also a way that we can reach a lot more people with these lectures. They become part of our record of interpretation and things that we can offer via our website. So the other lecture that's part of this upcoming series is going to be with Paul Wilson, and his lecture will be called "Discovering Mosses and Liverworts with Examples from Humboldt County." Paul Wilson is a former professor from Cal State Northridge. He specialized in ecology and evolution, and he's now retired to Arcata and is the president of the North Coast chapter of the California Native Plant Society. So he's an expert on bryophytes, and specifically we'll be talking about mosses and liverworts in this talk, with examples from Humboldt County. So we'll be focusing.
Oh, ooh, technology.
Do we lose?
Oh, there you are. Go ahead.
Uh-oh, it froze. Okay. Where did you lose me?
Tell me a little bit more about what Paul Wilson is going to be talking about.
So he'll be talking about mosses and liverworts. And if you didn't catch this before, he's the president of the North Coast chapter of the California Native Plant Society. And he's also a former professor of ecology and evolution at Cal State Northridge. And so he'll be discussing this extraordinary world of mosses and liverworts, which are little known. And he has some exciting examples to share, including some rare species that he's found in the King Range. So we'll be talking about what can be found in our local area, trying to spotlight some of the things that can be found in the Lost Coast specifically, and basically just sharing his knowledge about this little known world of mosses and liverworts, which is pretty exciting to us. So that again will be on the 28th of January from 6 to 7 p.m. via Zoom. And the Zoom links will be posted for both of those lectures on the event pages, both that can be found on our website. So if you go to the calendar page for January, you'll find both of those lectures. And the Zoom links will be posted there in advance of those lectures, as well as on the Facebook event pages for both of those lectures, which are live now on Facebook. And I guess I should say one other event that kind of dovetails with the lecture series, even though it's not virtual, but it's coming up on the heels of those two events. On the 7th of February, we're going to be doing another King Range mushroom hunt with Lost Coast Mike. We did one a couple weeks ago in mid-December that was hugely popular. The mushroom hikes always fill up really fast, so we're excited to have sort of a mid-season, late season, I guess, mushroom hunt. So we can look at some different varieties that are popping in the early part of February. And an exciting thing that we do with this February event is it will include both a field portion as well as a lab portion. This is something we did last spring with Lost Coast Mike as well, where we did a hike and then we brought our finds back to the Lost Coast Nature Center and fired up the BLM's high-powered microscopes to look at the mushrooms that we find under microscopes, which is just a whole different experience and adds a new appreciation for mushrooms. At least that's what I found in doing that. And so it's really quite spectacular what you can see under the microscopes. And so that event will feature both the field day and the microscope portion. And if people are interested to register for that event, they can do so by emailing info@lostcoast.org, and we'll get them registered for that. And we'll be making more announcements about that event soon. But it sort of ties into the concept of the two other lectures that I mentioned. And so those are three of our events that are gonna, kick off our 2026 calendar.
Those are three of the most exciting lecture series I've ever heard. I'm so excited about all of it. And I have had the opportunity to go to another lecture with the first person you spoke about, Mandy Hackney. And that person has so much love for mushrooms. It's just the most exciting talk you'll ever hear about mushrooms because she's so passionate about it. And she gets all the way down on her belly to take photos of the tiniest little mushrooms that you would have never even known were there. You will not regret attending that. In fact, if you are at all into mushrooms and lichens and stuff, I recommend just jumping on that website and signing up for all three immediately. Mushroom Mike or Lost Coast Mike is a ton of fun to go out in the woods with. I've had that experience too because I'm blessed to be a part of this community. But I didn't get to attend the most recent one that was real close to my home. I was under the weather and missed the mushroom walk that you just had. But a friend of mine attended and showed me pictures of using a black light to see the gills glow on a specific mushroom that's out in the woods right in my own backyard. And I was like, oh my goodness, I can't wait to go out with my night vision and try to find these glowing mushrooms myself. It's so cool. There's so many things to learn that you just would have never known if you didn't go exploring in the woods. So thank you for getting people out and about and exploring nature, especially this time of year. I love that you're doing lecture series about nature when we maybe don't want to be out in the cold all the time, especially after dark, of course. And you give us a way to still engage with the community right around us without getting wet and freezing.
Well, thanks for that. And also, yeah, that was a great event. Amanda joined us as a special guest along with my Lost Coast Mike and then Brittany Tonks, also of the Humble Bay Mycological Society. And they were a lot of fun. They each have kind of different areas that they specialize in. And so having all three
Yeah, we
of
can
them
hear
to
you.
share
Don't
their
do
expertise.
this. Yep, you're back. Okay.
But having all three of them share their expertise was really a lot of fun. We found a lot of given that it had been really dry preceding that hike, we weren't sure what we were going to find, and there was just a wealth of mushrooms in the area around Nodelos Campground, which I know you're familiar with as somebody who lives there. But we were really quite surprised by the diversity we found. All kinds of different mushrooms, from edibles to slimes to cups to, you name it. There was a ton of different things. And as you mentioned before, we also talked about different methods of identification. So the black light was one, but smell and taste and bleeding and bruising and spore prints and DNA analysis and all of that was a part of the talk. And it's just a whole world that's happening below our feet, and just really stuff that you can easily miss when you're out there. And so being there with experts that are really focused on the ground, looking down and seeing these really small things that the average person might miss was really educational. So I think it was a great outing, and I'm looking forward to doing more with the Mycological Society and Brandy moving forward. And while they won't be joining us for the hike on February 7th, it's going to be a great time. And for anybody who hasn't, looked at my mushrooms under microscopes before, that's a really neat aspect of that outing too. So don't delay in registering for that one though, because these mushroom hikes fill up really fast. And again, you can do that at info@lostcoast.org.
Yeah, that's super exciting. They definitely do fill up. I didn't get on the list. I was like, oh well, I guess. But I did hear that you there was a species of Amanita, I believe, that was taken away from that hike that is going to be a little research done on it. Mike took it with him to see if it's a new strain possibly of an Amanita, is what the word on the street is, that that was something that happened at that event, which is really exciting.
Yeah, we collected a mushroom that he's going to send up to a researcher in Oregon, and who's doing toxicity studies on different amanitas. And while I don't know about the specific name of that particular mushroom, we did talk about that being something that they were thinking could be unique, and we're interested to see what further research would show once they sent this to the to the expert in Oregon. They also collected a number of other samples of things that they were either surprised about or were rare finds that will get uploaded to iNaturalist and shared for DNA analysis to make sure that to see if some of these are unique species. So there's been a lot of advancements with DNA analysis with mushrooms in recent years, and that's causing a lot of changes in terms of classifications. And so and it's exciting time because of the advancements with DNA analysis. So hopefully we might find out some interesting things about some of the other samples we collected on that hike as well.
That's pretty exciting. I can't believe how much more research just keeps happening with mushrooms. Every time I make it up to a Mycological Society yearly mushroom festival, I think I'm not sure it's called Fest, but there's always new names on things constantly, and they're like formerly called this, used to be called that, like in this new genus, because there's so much research being done. In fact, I do believe mushroom is the largest animal on the planet, right?
That is what they say, largest organism.
Pretty amazing, pretty amazing. Oh, wow, what a blast. Thank you so much, Justin, for coming in today to chat with us about all of this. And then we'll see you out there and see you at the lectures online. And I did not know that all those lectures are on your back website. And now I have so much more fun things to check out online when I'm bored. Thank you.
Yeah, and we're planning a lot more lectures this year, as well as other outings. Just really looking to expand usage of the Lost Coast Nature Center for different types of events, both interpretive and stewardship. So keep an eye out on our calendar for that. And I just want to give a quick plug, because we're in the end of our year-end matching donor campaign, that for folks who want to support Friends of the Lost Coast and help us reach our 10,000 matching donor goal by our December 31st deadline. We're in the home stretch of that campaign. We've raised over $9,000 right now, so only have a little less than 1,000 to go to meet that. And if we can meet that challenge, we'll unlock that $10,000 and would make for a total start to the year of $20,000, which would be huge for Friends of the Lost Coast, especially because this has been a challenging year with the loss of federal funds, with everything that's been happening with at the federal level. And so a great way to support our work and put us off on the right foot for the next 25 years of Friends of the Lost Coast.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you for throwing that in there, folks. Make your checks out today to Friends of the Lost Coast. We got to keep them going. Not only do they support the native plants, animals, mushrooms, and people, they're giving us information on their website every day, anytime for free too, which is I just I love that those lectures are free and you're not asking for a donation for that. There's just so many ways you have your hands in our community and helping us all. So thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thank you. And yeah, we really try to keep things free and low cost, mostly free, just to be able to really expand the knowledge as much as we can and inspire a passion for nature. That's really what we're all about. So thank you, Pamela, for this opportunity to talk about our programs and highlight Friends of the Lost Coast.
Yeah, thank you, Justin. See you out there. And thanks again. Have a happy holiday season.
You too. Take
Take
care.
care. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a K-Mite podcast. To listen to other shows and more episodes of this show, find us on all the platforms where you get your podcast and also on our website, kmud.org.